Right now, you talk about getting smart. It's time for Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman, what is up, buddy?
I'm not as smart when I'm on twice a week. I just want to tell you that.
Oh, see, now you're just letting us down already. No, good to... Now, you did the podcast. We had you on Wednesday talking about the 31 Thoughts podcast with Jeff Merrick. Yeah. You got it in the can. You threw it out there. How do you feel?
You know, I feel that... It will be, it's a work in progress. Like, I liked it, but I think it can be a lot better, and I think we're going to work on it to make it a lot better.
Well, my suggestion, just off the top, would be less Merrick. If you could de-Merrick the podcast.
Why are you laughing?
Yeah, it's not me.
Anyway. Dean's not joking. He started out with the circus reference for 5 minutes. I was getting worried when he was talking about the lifter, but he did get the hockey, I noted, at about the 28-minute mark.
That's pretty good, guys. That's well done.
Well, we are...
You know, he's a different dude, Merrick, but I got a good laugh out of it.
He's great. Flames have won 5 straight, so obviously everyone's excited. How many can they win? Can they make it 7? They got 2 more games on this road trip, go on their week break, 7 in a row. What are you seeing with the Flames? Because last year, they went out east, and they got blown up. And then Gullitson did the let's have a beer on the train. And then they started winning, and then they made the playoffs.
On 10 or older.
And then this season, playing okay, but not getting points, but or some nights just not playing well and obviously not getting points. Then you've got the stick throw. There's a few signposts. Freddie Hamilton is no longer with Dougie, and that's kind of a story. Do you see similarities?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing I've seen, and I do think all that, I think Gullitson has a pretty good idea of which buttons to push, and people, you know, people can always debate about whether or not how much they work, but, you know, he does know what buttons to push. I think the biggest thing is that, first of all, you go with Smith in your first line, right? And your first line was going really well, and you guys were doing fine. And then they weren't going very well, and you guys were struggling, and now they're really going. Like, what, Ferland is what, 19 goals?
Yeah.
Like, it's that first line, when it's going, you guys are a much better team. Smith has been excellent. I don't know if there's been a goalie this year who's been more valuable to his team than Mike Smith has been. I do worry about the burnout with him. And I wonder if in any way you're going to address that, add it someone else, or just say, you know, Glenn, we need Riddick to have a start here and there. But I think the other thing, too, is, look, I always thought Calgary was a good team. Like, I make a list of teams at the beginning of every year. Who do I think can honestly win the Stanley Cup? And Calgary was on my list. I think that the thing that really mucked you guys up for a while was that you had to sign Jágr because nobody, not enough of your forwards, your depth guys, made an impact. And, you know, I think some of them got sent down, some of them got demoted down the lineup, and now what I see Hathaway coming up, and he's an impactful player. I see Jankowski back up, and he's an impactful player. You know, I think that that's kind of where we are now, that you guys have guys down your line. Even Ferland, I don't know if they were 100% happy with Ferland in training camp. He's making himself into an impactful player. I think that depth was always one of the things you guys worried about the most as an organization, and now it looks like you've got it. And to me, that's the difference between Calgary early in the season and Calgary now.
Ferland is an interesting case study because we would sit in here and say, you know what, don't worry about points. Don't get it into your head that you're a scorer. You're a big power forward. Go out there and be physical and bang bodies and don't worry about the other stuff. And to be honest, he hasn't really been a physical presence. You look at Miners, what was it?
He's got 11 penalty minutes and
very little in the way of PIMS this year.
Now
he's showing high-end skill, so I don't just curious, because he signed that kind of bridge deal, and it was a show-me deal, and so far, so good for Ferland, at least.
Well, I think the thing is, if you're him, okay, the way I would look at it, and I've talked to guys who play, like, if you talk to the guys who play with Sid, or you talk to the guys who play with Malkin, like, they are smart enough to know, you know, work on their skills, like, Rust, Sherry, Gensel, I think, is a little bit of more of a high-end guy than some of those other guys, but he's smart enough to know it too. You work on your skills, right? Like, you know you better have a good shot. You know you better be able to retrieve, take a pass. You know you have to be able to find openings, read the guys with you, and you know you have to be able to skate. Well, if you're Ferland and you're smart enough to realize that, and I think he is, you're sitting there and you're saying, look, I'm playing with Johnny Gaudreau and I'm playing with Sean Monahan. I'm going to get opportunities. Where do they want me to go and what do they want me to do? And sometimes you'd be surprised how hard it is for people to understand that. But that guy strikes me as a guy who says, look, I don't have to be the guy who makes this difficult. I can be very simple. This is what they need from me, and this is in the offensive zone. This is where I've got to be, and he's figured that out. And you know, I don't know if he's going to score. Like, I don't know what his ceiling is. Maybe he scores 30 goals, but I think he's a guy who says, "This is what I can do. I can be successful, and I'm going to do that." And you know what? Those players are important. They're not. You know, I think if you look at Pittsburgh, you know, Connor Sherry has 2 Stanley Cups. Brian Rust has 2 Stanley Cups because he figured that out. Jake Gensel was a very big part of them winning a Stanley Cup last year, and he knows that. So I think Ferland just understands what his role is and what he needs to do. He's accepted it, and he makes sure he does it well. And teams need guys like that. You can't win without them.
Hedman leaves last night's game for Tampa, and we'd sort of heard some whispers they might have been in the market for a defenseman before that happens. What do you expect to unfold?
Well, you know, I mean, you can't replace that guy, right? I didn't like the quotes last night. Like, you know, they were saying, well, we got to wait till tomorrow. But, you know, I think it was Strawman who said, look, we've won without Stamkos for a long period of time. And I'm like, oof, like, that doesn't sound good. And if you read all the Cooper quotes and the player quotes, it's like they're bracing for really bad news. I don't think you can replace that guy, really. But, you know, maybe you have to look for I think they were looking for one. My guess is now maybe they're looking for two. I guess it depends on the timeline, right? How bad this is. But, you know, that's a big blow for a team that's a legit Stanley Cup contender. You can't replace them. That's for sure.
We talked about the winger market a bunch here in Calgary for obvious reasons, but who is out there for defense? And is there a big name out there that everyone's going to be fighting for, kind of like we've heard on the Kane front?
Well, you know, I think the defenseman's interesting. I think Ottawa's going to have a couple. I think Dion's out there for sure. They've checked with all the teams on his list. I think, you know, CeCe is a guy they have resisted dealing, but I think now if the right deal came along, I think they would consider it. People ask a lot about is Chris Tanev in Vancouver. I don't think the Canucks are going to do that. I think they consider him very much an important part of their group, and they still want to put, you know, something together in terms of, you know, being a team, and I think he's very important to that. I know earlier in the year there was the possibility of one of Martinez and Muzzin from L.A. You know, they're going well, so I'm not as convinced they're willing to do that now. I think if Arizona is willing, it might be Hjalmarsson. And I don't know what Arizona's thinking there, but I think that there are a lot of teams kind of wondering, okay, what are they thinking with Hjalmarsson? What are they going to do here? And I could see a lot, like, I mean, I know we've had OEL rumors all year. I'm not convinced they're going to do that at all. But I wonder, I have a feeling you'll see a lot of teams calling them about Hjalmarsson, and he's still hurting. He hasn't played yet. So once he gets back and gets healthy, depending on what Arizona wants to do, Ryan, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's a name that really starts to pop up out there.
Arizona's a funny team because they are not going to be a playoff team from all appearances, and they would be a candidate that you would look at and say, all right, who are you going to go and pluck from there? Outside of Hjalmarsson, and you mentioned OEL, there isn't a lot there. They've signed Goligoski. He's a part of what they're doing. They don't really have a goaltender. They've kind of done all of their selling off. You know what I mean? Like, Shane Doan is gone. Now it's really it's Max Domi and Clayton Keller and Perlini and Dvorak, and all of the young guys are kind of the guys now.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, he's one thing about the teams telling me is that he's always looking. Like, he's a guy who looks a lot. He's a guy who makes a lot of calls. He's a guy who's, like, like I don't know specifically what we'd be talking about here, but he's the kind of guy that Chayka is that I've been told that another GM will have a player that he's thinking of moving, and Chayka will call him, and he'll say, I'm surprised, like the other GM will say, I'm surprised you're interested in that player, and he'll tell them, well, I think you should be interested in anything that you think can help. So he's a bit of a wild card in that way. I think he looks at his team a little differently than we do. I think they're always looking to get better, and I think also, like, he's a bit different in the sense that he will consider some things that you might not think he would consider for where his team is at this point in their development. So I've learned not to assume anything with him, that just because it may look to us in one way, it doesn't necessarily mean he thinks about it that way. So it's always good to remember about the way he approaches his job.
What do you think Philadelphia is going to do with Wayne Simmonds? He's been such a big part of that team. He's got one more year left.
I think they will try to keep him.
Yeah.
I think they will try to keep him. Like, yeah. Hextall, I think they love him.
You got to try.
He's a big part of what they do. He's hard to replace. I mean, how are you going to replace that guy?
Are you scared, though? Because, I mean, who doesn't love him? He's got another year left, 3.975, just a great cap hit. But he is 29, and you wonder, in this league, is this a guy who gets the 31, and then it starts to really fall apart for him, and you've got two or three more years of term left on an extension?
I think you always worry about that. You know, the one thing is that they know him better than anybody else does, right? And, you know, I always think, you know, we're going into a new age now, Dean. Like, people don't abuse their bodies like sports reporters do, right? You know, they take care of their bodies. They've got very sophisticated sports science systems. You know, I don't know if you're going to be as effective in your 30s as you are in your 20s. I think that's legit. But it doesn't mean you still can't be effective. And I know, and this is a longer topic, a bigger discussion, but I think now with what we're learning about our bodies and what we can do and eating better and things like that, I'm just wondering if we're just at the tip of the iceberg in terms of, you know, can we get to a situation where players can be more successful in their 30s than they have been? And we all know about the NHL becoming a younger league because of the speed. Well, look, we're at 31 teams now, and we're probably going to 32. So you're going to need to find... So we just got 23 jobs at the minimum added this year, and we're probably getting 23 more jobs at the minimum in a couple more years. So, you know, there's not enough players, you know, if you don't learn to extend some of these careers. So I really think that Philly's a catapult team. They're one of the teams that use that catapult system. They are going to know Wayne Simmonds better than anybody else. And if they believe, based on what they know of his body, they'll extend him. I really believe that. I know, I mean, there's always a cap issue, but I know they really like him. I know they consider him to be very important to what they do, and I wouldn't be surprised if he stays there. And by the way, I should mention, Calgary is a catapult team, too. I know they use the same system.
So if they are going to extend him, couldn't they do so while keeping Voracek and Giroux, knowing that Goss Despair has got his money already?
Well, Goss Despair got signed, right?
But they're going to have Provorov. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, they've got these young guys that some of them have started to get paid, but more are coming. I mean, Nolan Patrick's going to cost money. Clearly, well, Provorov's going to cost money.
No, I mean, you still got a couple years. Like, yeah. I'm a big believer in the Lou Lamoriello, if you've got time, use it. And, you know, sometimes I think teams play this differently than we do. We're like, a GM has to look and say, I'll deal with this in a couple of years. I know I have to deal with this then and this then and this then. But sometimes I think we get ahead of ourselves. And I think, Ryan, it comes down to, do you believe you can win? To me, like, I think if you really believe you can win, you're going to hold off some of those decisions. If you don't think you can win, you deal with those decisions earlier. You look at Tampa, Stamkos went right down to the wire. You look at Islanders, Tavares looks like it's going to go right down to the wire. When you have a player you really believe in or you're really trying to win, I think you just roll the dice and you take your chance. And I think it's so hard to win now that that's the way I would do it too.
Hey, just because we're talking about it, but how impressive is it that Treliving got his top two guys under $7 million? I mean, You look at the situation, Philly, Voracek, and Giroux, $8.5-9 million. I mean, all the guys that are top guys on their team are 8+ minimum.
Yeah, he did a great job there. And what really helped was, like, if you take a look at when it's also when they had to sign, right?
Yeah.
Like, you look at that summer that Monahan and Goudreau signed, what were all the numbers? It was 6.3 for MacKinnon. It was 6.08, I think, or something like that for Scheifele. So they got Monahan right around that number. And don't forget that at the time, I think you guys were, well, never mind, I think. We all know you guys were really battling with Goudreau, and he signed a record deal for someone who didn't have arb rights. And at the time, like, I remember there were people in Calgary saying, I don't know if we should do this. And you're right, Red. It looks like history has shown it looks like a fantastic deal for what you're getting. So I think what has really helped is that, you know, those guys became RFAs before McDavid did. Like, McDavid has reset the clock. And because he's at the number, and look what it did for Dreisaitl. It took Dreisaitl probably from 6.5 to 8.5. So if those guys were RFAs now, you'd have a much bigger problem than 2 years ago. But you're right. Like, those, like, you look at your team, what are your next big contract deals? There's Backlund. There's going to be Ferland, who's scoring himself into a bigger number. But is there anyone else right now that scares you?
Kachuk.
There's only one contract.
Kachuk will be a big one because he's a huge part of what you are. But, like, I think you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? We feel pretty good about where we are and where we're going.
What?
And it's going to give him an opportunity to do something else if he wants to.
And how good is it to have your top guys? Because if Kachuk's going up for a deal and your two top guys are at 6.5, I mean, that's what happened in Detroit all the time. Well, Lidstrom's our best player. Mm-hmm. You're not getting
You're not making more than him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. Like, I think that there's... I read a book, and I think I've mentioned it on the station before, called The Bald Truth, which was a book by a guy by the name of David Falk. He was a big NBA agent. He had Patrick Ewing. He had Michael Jordan. Like, he had a lot of the big NBA players. And he talked about how teams would say things like that to him and how he would argue them back. And I'm sure Calgary will go to everybody and say, Johnny's 6'7", 5", and Giordano's here, and Monahan's here, and nobody's getting past that. And a good agent will say, well, this is how we're going to counter it, and they'll come up with a good way. But I think at the end of the day, Calgary recognizes what Matthew Tkachuk is. And, you know, if there's a willingness to make a deal, there's always a willingness to make a deal. You just have to grind each other to get there.
Quickly on Backlund, do you see any hiccups here? It's a little late in the process for a UFA, but maybe it isn't.
You know what? I think one of the things that happens is when your team is struggling a bit, like you guys were until the last five games, you kind of sit there and you say, we're not signing anybody because it looks bad. And, you know, I think that probably had a little bit to do with it. I'm sure there have been some negotiations back and forth. I don't have any sense that it's imminent, but I also don't have any sense that it's disastrous, like you can't get a deal done here. So I'm sure they'll just keep grinding away, but I do know when teams are struggling, there are many teams who believe, actually, you don't announce new deals when you're not going very well. You don't work on deals when you're not going very well.
Last one, at least for me, whereas we're keeping you late.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm used to this.
I know you are.
This is it's the 9:45 time slot that turns into 9:45-ish to 10-ish, so I'm good with that.
Good. Very happy to hear that. The Oilers have...
I want to give the sponsor the money's worth.
That's right. That's GSL GM City.
There you go.
Your Cadillac Superstore. McDavid's 12.5 kicks in next year. Dreisaitl already making his 8.5. We know what Lucic is making. We know what Nugent Hopkins is making.
Yep.
Patrick Maroon would be an attractive deadline ad, would he not? He's a UFA at the end.
And I think he's going to get traded.
He's got to get traded, doesn't he? Because they can't afford to keep him.
I don't think there's a doubt that he's going to get traded. I would be surprised that they're keeping him. And I don't see any way that he finishes. I shouldn't say that because, like, there's always a way. I would say it is extremely, extremely unlikely that he finishes this year in Edmonton.
Yeah, because... And there's not a lot of those types of guys. He can play with highly skilled players, but he can also play a third-line role pretty well. He's pretty versatile that way.
He can do it, and he plays a heavy game, which is always better for the playoffs. And he's shown that he can play with faster players. He had a good chemistry with McDavid. So yeah, there's a lot to like about him, but I'm sure that there will be a lot of interest. And he's not going to cost you as much as Evander Kane would, or Hoffman would, or someone else like that, or Pacioretty.
What else can they sell? Anything else that you're hearing
in Edmonton?
Yeah.
You know, they put the word out on Slepyshev yesterday. They'd like to move him, and I think he would like a change of scenery. So I think there's that. I think that's one that they could do. I'm sure they will look at just about anything. I think with the Hoffman deal, they might have talked, you know, Kajula maybe or something like that, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's available. I think he's just a guy who might have been available for that player. I think Edmonton, you know, they have two more games. They played a night in Arizona, and they played tomorrow in Vegas, and then they have their break. And those meetings are going to be something else. Those 5 days off, in terms of what they're going to talk about and what they're going to think, I think there's going to be if I was them, I would probably keep it together for the rest of the year, not do anything like trade your UFAs, not do anything too crazy unless something just dropped on your lap that you couldn't say no to, and then really take a long, hard look. I think Edmonton's in a dangerous spot because you're emotional, you're angry, you can't believe where you are. It's almost when you have to take a time out and say, we're closed for business because we're not doing anything dumb. And that's, unless something just dropped on your lap that you absolutely couldn't say no to, if I was Edmonton, I'd be like, we're closed for business unless you blow our socks off.
What kind of money Darnell Nurse going to get? He's an RFA.
You know, I think he's going to do well because he's an improving player, but, like, is anybody in Edmonton striking it rich after this year?
Yeah. It's just another contract they're going to have to dole out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I still think he is also just scratching the surface of where he's going
to
be.
Well, I do, too. That's why I say I wonder if they might be able to play a little bit of hardball there.
Or bridge him.
Yeah.
If I was Nurse, I might bridge, unless they gave me a deal I couldn't say no to.
Have a fine weekend, sir.
You too, guys.
We will. We'll talk next
Enjoy
week.
Enjoy the Florida game tonight. Hey, who are you infecting this week, Dean?
I'm perfect health.
Did you really get on a plane when you were sick?
Like, how gross is that?
Really sick, not just sick.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You have a vacation planned with your family, and you happen to be under the weather on the day of the flight. Are you staying home?
How under the weather are we talking here?
Well, I wasn't dying, but I had to get sick at the airport.
Yeah, that's not cool.
So you, rather than go with your kids and your wife to Jamaica, you would have sent them on their own?
I would have gone the next day.
Oh, you would not have. Mind you, you are a bit of a diva. You have all those air miles. And
I'm not a bit of a diva. I'm Scott a lot Moore. Of a diva. Yeah.
Scott Moore has the private jet all warm for
you. I'm not Rhett Warner. I get every other day off, but I'm close.
Whoa.
This is getting good.
Out in left field. Shot at Warner. I like it.
Sheesh.
That's a good place to end. Thanks, Elliot.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great weekend.